CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and last week we had a powerful, powerful week of programs as we talked with Sherry Matherly, who was married to an alcoholic, who was also very verbally abusive. Just to quote Sherry, she felt hopeless and helpless. I mean, what a powerful combination of despair when you feel not only hopeless, you feel helpless. Well, in two programs this week, we're going to listen to what it's like to be the child of a alcoholic and involved and around being in a domestic violence situation, even though it was verbal 99% of the time, till unfortunately her dad shot her mom in the head trying to kill her. Miraculously, Sherry lived, and then he turned the gun on himself and took his own life. But Dee Matherly is her name, Sherry's daughter, and she's going to tell about what it was like to be a child of that, but also going to tell about how the recovery that her mom went through, which was just amazing, and how God was with her every step of the way. So if you missed any of the programs with Sherry, I hope you'll go to our website, hopeishere.today, and you can hear more about Sherry's powerful and miraculous recovery.
I'm Dee, and this is my story. So growing up, it was my mom, my dad, and myself. So we lived in this little tiny two-bedroom house. My mom worked full-time at Toyota, so she worked and was gone, you know, all day. And my dad was actually self-employed. He was a stonemason, so he built, like, all the rock walls and did a lot of, like, jobs, like, out of town, building, you know, on farms and horse farms and whatnot. I don't really remember what age exactly it was that I realized that my dad, like, had a drinking problem. I kind of just thought that was normal, you know, like, everybody's family did it. And then I started going to one of my best friend's houses. She lived really close, so we were super close. I was always over there. And, you know, like, her family didn't do that. Like, her dad didn't, like, drink. And so that's, I think, when I started realizing that it was just a little bit different. And then, you know, she never came to my house. Like, I didn't know it then, but I never wanted anybody at my house. Like, I always just wanted to get out. Like, I wanted to go there. Like, I wanted to go here. You know, it got progressively worse. I feel like as I got older, whether I've just became more aware of it or, you know, it was just more apparent, and he was drinking more. I remember, like, he wasn't doing as many jobs. He was, like, home a lot. So, you know, by the time I would get home from school, like, you know, he would be just completely drunk. But I remember, like, so many times just, like, you know, being woken up in the middle of the night with them just, like, screaming at each other and fighting and yelling and just, like, I mean, I remember being in my room, like, yelling back at them to, like, stop or, you know, like, be quiet, you know, but, you know, it didn't really do anything. You know, it got to where my dad would, like, threaten my mom almost, you know, like, had her under his thumb, you know, to, like, scared to do anything. And I think that's why she never, like, told anyone what was going on at home or, you know, expressed her fear for the situation. I remember we tried to leave a few times, like, would go to my aunt's house or whatnot, and he would, like, come find us and, like, threaten us, you know, threaten her. So, you know, we always just ended up back home. I mean, I know she knew it wasn't a good situation, but she didn't really know what to do. You know, she was doing the best that she could. So my sophomore summer of high school, I had a conversation with my mom and just let her know that I couldn't stay there anymore. I couldn't be at home. I couldn't be around him anymore. And that either her and I had to leave or I was leaving. And so with the help of, like, a couple of close friends, we threw what we could in trash bags, like, kind of in the middle of the day when my dad wasn't there, and just left. And we never went back. So we stayed with a couple friends, and then we ended up moving into Paris, the little town, and got an apartment. So we were there probably a month or two. I hadn't really heard from my dad. He would like call or, you know, try to reach out to me, but I didn't ever respond or have any contact with him. So we were kind of living like our own little life. Like, I mean, he still obviously was around, but it wasn't so like frightening because we were out of the house. We were like, you know, in town. It wasn't like we were just right in the middle of it. So my mom tried, she filed divorce papers to just obviously try to get that finalized. And he would never sign them. Like, he just refused to sign them. He wouldn't agree to it at all. I mean, she tried to talk to him, you know, offered him a lot of things, and he just wouldn't do it. My first day of my junior year of high school, I actually had gotten in trouble like a few days before and was like semi-grounded. And I wasn't supposed to do anything after school that day, my first day of junior year. I just had to go straight back home. So I went home, and my mom generally was home by like 5-ish in the afternoon, you know, in the evening. And she wasn't home, which was, you know, kind of weird, but I didn't really think too much of it. I got a phone call from my aunt that lives right near us when we lived, you know, out at our house. And she said that one of the neighbors had called her and that it looked like my mom had had a wreck. And so I immediately panicked because why would she be out there? You know, why was she out there? And I called her and couldn't get her. So I immediately just knew something was wrong, and I just grabbed my keys, called one of my best friends, and I picked her up and was like, I have to go out here. I mean, she wasn't answering the phone. I just knew in my heart something was wrong. So we're driving, she's trying to call people, like I'm still trying to call my mom, like nobody's answering. We're driving, and we get almost to probably like, I don't know, a quarter of a mile from my house, and the road's blocked. And it was a guy I knew, like, from around our house, from town or whatever. And he wouldn't let me through. And anybody also didn't have any information. He just was like, I can't let you through. So we finally get word that it was my mom that had been airlifted to the hospital. And I remember feeling like a little bit of relief, and then I felt guilty afterwards, you know. I remember being like really relieved that it was my mom that was being taken to the hospital, because I felt like there was a chance things were okay. Like, I just remember at the time, like, not even thinking about, you know, what happened to my dad at this point. I found out that my mom that day had actually went to our house to try to talk my dad into signing the divorce papers. Just, you know, just really like asking him, like, just finish this up. And he was obviously extremely drunk, you know, probably more so than, you know, he probably had been before. And she panicked. And as she was getting back in the car, he came out of the house and shot her in the back of her brain. Which is what caused the car wreck. Since she was in her car when it happened, she just like hit the gas and went across the street in the ditch, which is why they thought she had a car wreck. And then he turned the gun on himself and committed suicide in our front yard. So I get to the hospital, and there's already quite a few family members there. So I knew obviously something was, you know, really wrong. And I remember seeing my brother from my half-brother, from a relationship my mom had before she met my dad. We hadn't been super close before then because him and my dad didn't have a good relationship. And I just remember seeing him first, and I knew, you know, something was really wrong. And that's when he told me that my dad had shot mom, and that she, you know, they didn't know if she was going to make it. And even like when I think back on it now, it just seems so, you know, like such an out-of-body experience to not know what's going to happen and what's going on. And then just to be flooded with all these people, you know, and I just felt so alone at that moment because I hadn't been super close with my brother. And then my sisters came from a previous relationship with my dad, you know, and I felt really like selfish. I didn't want any of them to even be there because they hadn't been there before. They weren't there to help us or help me. And so the next, you know, 24 or 48 hours were just such a, you know, such a blur. And they didn't know, you know, if she was even going to make it, that the bullet had entered like at the back base of her brain and traveled all the way through to the front. So they didn't know the damage. It's crazy how your life can just be totally turned upside down in just, you know, such a short period of time. And as much as I wanted to feel sad about that, I didn't, because I was so angry. I was so, so mad at him for doing that and doing that to my mom. And you know, I didn't really have time to process what had happened to him because I was just so focused on, you know, on my mom. And after a little while, I don't remember like how long, but I was able to go back and see her. And like, I tried to really block that memory out because it was just so scary. Like it wasn't her. I don't even feel like it was like a person. Like she was just so, just kind of out of it, obviously, but it didn't, you know, it didn't look like her. It just wasn't her. So my mom's obviously still in the emergency room. I have to start like kind of processing and dealing with what had happened with my dad and, you know, the steps you take with that. And my sisters did a lot of that. And I remember getting dressed and going to my dad's like burial by myself. Like we didn't do, you know, any type of really ceremony or anything, obviously. And I just felt so alone. I literally just went by myself and then just went back home. And I was still just really mad at him. I was still just really angry at the situation. I was feeling like how selfish, you know, of him and to do this to us. And now just here I am, you know, this high school kid just going to my dad's funeral by myself because I have no one, basically, you know. And that was, you know, it was really hard, but I was still so angry that I just really wanted that to be, you know, behind me for the most part, so I could focus on my mom and everything.
Do you have a real estate question and don't know where to start? Contact Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors. Whether you're in the market, looking to buy, sell, or rent a house, Cecil Holmes would be glad to help you with any real estate questions you have. Give him a call today at 326-0756. That's 326-0756. Cecil Holmes with Rector Hayden Realtors.